up there. I was like, what? I've been doing this thing where I just never mention my stutter. So when someone tells me I do, I react like I didn't know. Right, there was a guy who came up like, hey man, you were stuttering up there. I was like, what? How bad is that? He was like, it's pretty bad. I was like, this is just the worst news. You know, it's hard enough being black. And he was like, you're not black. I was like, what? How bad is that?
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
It's unlike anything I had really ever seen, where we all just kind of waited and yet still worked together to just be present for what had to happen. And he was dead. He had no pulse for over 5 minutes. I mean, I'm getting emotional thinking about it because, you know, it's just how fast and silently everybody's just kind of working. I mean, it was like an operating table.
Yeah.
I mean, it was genuinely like an operating table where people are just kind of there's no fat that's happening in the communication. It's just, this is what we need. This is how we're doing it. It was efficient. None of these people knew each other. There was no egos. There's no identities or anything. Everybody just kind of put all that aside.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us on ATCB Infomercial Tuesday with very popular comedian Drew Lynch. He is a, I think, it was, did he win AJT? AJT.
The AJC.
He was a runner-up in season number 10 of America's Got Talent. Now with over 3 million YouTube subscribers, couple million social media followers. I don't know how many he has on TikTok because I haven't checked TikTok in 2 years. But
he's got his new special.
He's got a new special, that's right. It's called The Stuttering Comedian, out on YouTube for free. And he is, of course, a stand-up comedian. So that means he's on the never-ending tour, as most of our guests are. DrewLynch.com is where you can find more information about tickets. We'll talk to him all about that. I will share this with the audience. I think I may have said this maybe one other time on The Commercial Break, probably long ago. And Chrissy knows this about me.
Yeah.
Some people know this about me. But one of the reasons why I like Drew, why I felt some kinship with Drew and started paying attention to him, is because he is a stutterer, and I was a stutterer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I am a stutterer. At times I stutter, and you will probably hear that on The Commercial Break. You might pick up on it now. But it's a problem I kind of licked as a child through speech therapy and some other things that I can do to kind of calm my brain down a little bit. I really think that it's because my brain moves so fast, my mouth can't keep up with it.
I
just trip over myself.
Definitely could be the culprit.
but when you are stuttering, when you are having a stuttering moment, or when you are stuttering as a child, it's not an easy thing to deal with. It's a lot of stress on the body. It's a lot of stress on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel like you want to say something, but it's just not coming out quite correctly. Now, my stutter was never as pronounced as Drew's stutter is. And Drew has completely different circumstances where mine came about.
It was an injury.
Yeah, mine came about when I started speaking. And, you know, my parents noticed at whatever age, and I ended up in speech therapy. Drew got in a terrible softball-related accident, and that accident caused damage to the left side of his brain, I believe, and then that caused him to have a stutter as long as some other mental health challenges and just some general neurological stuff. Drew's been very open about this, and I think that probably is the reason, not only is he funny, but also I think part of the reason why he's become so popular is because he's been very honest and refreshingly open. About.
I know, I love that.
I do too. I think it takes a really brave human to kind of pull. I mean, the other thing about a stutter.
Well, in this world of making everything perfect.
That's right. You're right about that. Yeah. And the thing about a stutter is it's hard to cover up, especially when you have a bad one, when it's very pronounced. It's hard to cover up. And the more that it happens, the more you start tripping over yourself, the more stress you get involved in, the more your brain doesn't want to cooperate with your mouth. That must be very difficult. But in this time of trying to make everything pretty and perfect.
Yeah, exactly. All the social media, I mean.
Yeah. And, you know, occasionally I'll see like a bathing suit model with like, you know, a birthmark on her butt. And she'll be like, I want to show everybody that life is real. It's like, okay, you have a birthmark on you, but fucking cares.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate that you're coming out, honestly. But then the 7,000 other photographs are perfectly manicured photographs of you in front of a palm tree. That's not what I'm talking about. Drew puts it all out there. It's like, you know, refreshingly out there. And I hope we get some of that today when we talk to him. DrewLynch.com. The Stuttering Comedian on YouTube now available. Go buy tickets. You can follow him on social media. All the links will be in the show notes, Chrissy, because that's how we roll, just like every other podcast that has ever been. There's something called show notes, in case you don't know. Yes. They're right under the show. They're notes, and I put links in there for you to go check out the shit that we're doing or our guests are doing. And Drew is one of those people, and I want to ask him. Right off the bat, we'll go right into it, because he had something very interesting happen to him in one of his more recent shows. A man had a heart attack.
I saw that.
And it really seemed to affect Drew emotionally. He got emotional about it on a reel. So go check out his Instagram. You can maybe during the commercial break, listen to the commercials while you're watching Instagram, and you can catch up on this story at Drew Lynch. And then there you go. So why don't we do this, Chrissy? Why don't we take a short break, just a little break, a tiny break, as my daughter would say.
Tiny.
A tiny break. And then when we get back through the magic of telepodcasting right here on this television with us, Drew Lynch, what do you think?
I think we should do it.
Okay. We'll be back with Drew.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
The very funny Drew Lynch here with us now, Chrissy, on the telepodcasting machine. Drew, thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I want to start off maybe on a little bit more of a serious note, but I want to throw this out there. A couple of days ago, you had something that happened at one of your shows. A man had a heart attack, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. In Spokane, Washington.
Wow. And I have been following you on socials for a while, and I saw a video come up, and I thought, oh, here he's going to do, here it comes funny, coming in hot with something funny. And then it was very serious, and you were very, it seemed like very touched by the moment when the man, I guess, had a heart attack and people around him gathered together to make sure that he survived the incident. But then you went to the hospital and spent some time with him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would love to be able to get into it. And honestly, anytime we can start a podcast sad, I'm always a fan.
Yeah, me too.
It gives us a place to go.
You don't even know, Drew. This is pretty standard fare for Brian.
Yeah.
I'll quote Ram Dass later on.
Yeah, most of my podcasts are really like just bummers. And people are into it. People are like, I love it. It's so edgy. It's different. He's not funny at all.
Yeah.
I really like that type of not funny comedian.
Wait. Drew just saves lives for a living. That's what he does.
Yeah. That's I'm actually just better. I'm a healer with my body and mind. That's what I do. I'm so good. I'm so good I don't even need comedy. That's how good I am at it. First of all, it was something that coming off of the past, I guess, week or two, I mean, tensions everywhere with everything and how upset everyone has been. And it's not even a thing. Like, it was really like last week, kind of the news of last week, compounded news from last week, multiple things happening, mm-hmm. rolling into just this weekend. And you're like, I was maybe on stage for maybe 12, 15 minutes or so. And there was a lady who from across the room kind of made a beeline towards the other side of the room to kind of help this guy. Yeah. And everything's just very slow motion in that time. You're not really able to process everything as fast. You're just kind of like, oh, she's leaving. And you're like, no, she's tending to a guy. Wait, how does she know that guy? And then you're like, what's going on with the guy? And then he's on the floor, and people are all of a sudden like, when you watch people like just kind of react and then just continue to react as the stakes get higher and higher, as everyone else is realizing what's happening, it's a very like, shocking thing. It's very
surreal.
Shocking.
And
and so he had a heart attack, and that was what someone had communicated to me. And in no time at all, like, just the crowd didn't know, every person in the audience, just they didn't hesitate at all to understand what needed to happen. And so in that interim, people just kind of fell into roles of like, people moved furniture. There were medical professionals and nurses, just in the area who took turns taking compressions on this guy, doing CPR, monitoring his vitals. People got immediately, someone called, paramedics. Then someone was parked out right where the paramedics could show up. And so I'm making announcements to have someone clear the car and like move the car. It's unlike anything I had really ever seen, where we all just kind of waited and yet still worked together to just be present for what had to happen. And, he was dead. He had no pulse for over 5 minutes. I mean, I'm getting emotional thinking about it because how fast and silently everybody's just kind of working. I mean, it was like it was like an operating table.
Yeah.
I mean, it was genuinely like an operating table where people are just kind of no fat. And there's no fat that's happening in the communication. It's just, this is what we need. This is how we're doing it. It was efficient. None of these people knew each other. There was no egos. There's no identities or anything. Everybody just kind of put all that aside. And so when they revived him, prior to the paramedics even arriving, it was one of the just most, like, I guess, just awe-inspired things I've ever been able to witness. Just the beauty of a community and a mechanism kind of just coming together, to achieve this. And so his family told me, like, he left his walker there. He needed a walker, and he obviously left his walker because he left with the paramedics. And so, the club gave me the contact of his granddaughter. And so I was like, okay, they were like, she's going to come by and grab the walker tomorrow. And I was like, no. Like, I'll bring him the walker. I would love to be able to go visit him in the hospital and, finish the show or just cheer him up, anyway.
Yeah.
They gave me her number. I said, I would love to be able to sign his walker. So I'll sign it. And can you just tell me his name and I'll sign it and bring it to him tomorrow? And then she texted me and said, oh, he would love that. His name is Dick. And you know, normally under the circumstances, like if you're in a meet and greet line or something like this didn't happen tonight, you're like, ah, oh, that's silly. I'll make a funny thing and it'll be, you know, whatever. But under the circumstances, I can't be like, you know, like, you know, like, you know, I love you, Dick, you know, in the droolet, like, you know, right, to my, yeah, to my dearest Dick, you know, my second favorite Dick, like, you know, it like, you know, it's like, you know, it's just so I just signed it and then, you know, we brought it to the hospital and my two openers, my funny friends came with me to also be there and the family was there and we were just in the hospital for just hours, just hanging out with him. And I'm sorry I took so long to tell this whole story. It was just beautiful. And as it pertains to how things have been happening in the world, it just kind of reinvited the idea of hope, kind of just knowing that, all right, who cares however people feel, and people who come see me, they come from all different types of backgrounds. Like there's not any one type. So the fact that everybody just kind of put all that together just for humanity's sake was very, very special to witness.
I think two things that I took away from the series of videos that you put out over the last couple of days, because very similar to the story that you just told, is that we look at all the tragedy around us and the heartbreak and the terrible things that are happening, and bad news sells. So that's what they lead with. And that's what we hear. And that's their job. And that, you know, that's a business. But what we don't see in all of that, oftentimes what gets missed in those stories, the school shooting or the shooting or whatever happens, is that there are little moments of absolute, sovereignty to the human beings that are having that tragedy, as we just, that's just how we're built. And I worked in the restaurant business when multiple people had heart attacks. I've seen bad car accidents where people, maybe myself included, jumped in without speaking to each other to just do what needed to be done, because I think somewhere in the back of our heads, that's how we're built. But I also think somewhere in the back of our heads, we pray or meditate or whatever it is that someone else would do that for us if that was our moment or our tragedy. But then you took it the extra step and literally went to the hospital and finished your show, which I thought was a very beautiful thing to do. And I know you're not doing that to look for accolades, but I will say that it was very touching to see you up there having fun with this guy.
Well, thanks. But yeah, he's just a special person. Like I text the family every day since I want updates. Like they've got a trip planned to Montana and he's got plans to go to Maui, and he's been a speech therapist for 50 years and in his community,
Yeah.
So like, you know, that was why he was there to see me is like, you know, I have had a history of stuttering, and he's somebody who's like, you know, like just once, he is just a person that just invites like warmth and help and support. Like you just meet people that are just really special people. And he was just, like I was there to just kind of hear and learn more about him and really just kind of confront him to see if like he just, you know, pretended to die to get out of listening to the rest of my set, which is not uncommon for me. It's not uncommon.
We get those texts all the time. Sorry, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Can't listen anymore.
And he committed too. And I was like, this hospital bill is going to be exorbitant. But like, if that's how much you hated my show, just tell me.
Wow. You have been very open. Obviously, you were on AGT. You've been very open, and I think, to your credit, about your stutter and your speech issues. I also was a stutterer as a child. I think that's probably why I enjoy your comedy, and I have a connection there. There's a, you know, we share something in common there, the struggle. My not, I think, as pronounced as yours, but I guess it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Everyone's struggle is relative. But you have leaned into this, and you have really, I think, probably, here's my question. Do you get a lot of people that come up to you that go to your shows and they have similar issues or they're dealing with something and they say, because you're doing it, now I'm not afraid to do this?
Yeah, I think it happens. Almost every place I'm at. I mean, and it's not just about the thing itself. It's about the fact that, I mean, kind of to the same degree that of how we even started this podcast. It's like, it's about the adversity that anybody has underneath. Yeah. Like we all have something. Everybody has something. And if you're financially like debilitated or you're relationally or with your family or something physically or mentally or socially, there's always just something. So the idea that I think I always want to be upfront. I always want to be transparent about whatever's going on with me, about what issues it is that I'm having, and not to say as woe is me, but just to show you that I'm human. And there's just, for whatever reason, that's actually been one of the things that's helped me the most about stuttering, is just by saying like, I'm afraid yeah. right now. I'm scared. I'm scared that you're judging me. I'm scared that you think that I'm not going to like that this isn't going to go good. Or I'm scared that you think that I'm a fraud. Or I'm scared that you think that I can't come back from this, or that you think this is my whole identity, or that my problems don't pale in comparison to maybe something that you're going through. Even when I did America's Got Talent, like I was receiving messages from people who were like, hey, I'm in my fifth round of chemo right now. And I don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm yucking out the rounds of chemo here in the hospital, but I'm watching you and I can't wait to see you next week. And like, this type of stuff just, you know, it makes it not about you at all. And that is a healthy reminder, because I struggle with ego of just being like, well, how about for me? Like, what, I mean, I enough? And what about, how does this apply for how I'm doing? And can it elevate what I'm doing in a way? And like, even how it happened with Spokane this past weekend, it's just a healthy reminder that actually, the best part of things is oftentimes when it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing about you. It's about what it is that you can offer, or what can be offered, and has nothing to do with you. So, so I think just trying to connect to people, even to relating to somebody who also stutters, but just relating to somebody who, you know, could be embarrassed or ashamed or angry or has grief or feels remiss. Like, these are all things that come with the feelings of when you're dealing with adversity. So on a very real level, you know, comedy kind of is there to just, escape or help or support or relate.
It's diffuse. Nice. Yeah. You gave me chills when you said I'm scared, right? Like, I'm scared, because I think that if we all were brave enough at times to just call that out, I'm scared. I'm scared of whatever it is, right? I'm scared of getting hurt. I'm scared of failing. I'm scared of you're judging me. I'm scared of, if we were a little bit more vulnerable in that way to each other and just to the world in general, maybe the world would be just a little bit of a softer place than it is right now. Everyone's got pointy elbows and, you know, I'm tough and I'm bad and I'm this and I'm that. But you just said something like, it literally gave me chills. I'm scared. That it's okay to be scared. Everybody's fucking scared. Yeah. Everybody's scared. I'm scared to interview Drew Lynch. I'll say it. And he called it out. We're financially debilitated, yes. Chrissy. We are financially debilitated.
I know. Two for two. And I am a scary guy. And I want that to be the narrative. I'm formidable.
Where did you, comedy, where does that, like, are you always looking for the joke? Are you, when you were a kid, were you like always looking for the funny somewhere?
I think my family is just, I think my family's really funny. I think my sister is just so funny. Like, I mean, she doesn't, she's just like a, like my family's just very, subdued sort of Midwest, kind of just thrown away, just thrown away type comments, you know, just things that it's like, if you hear it and you process it, it was like, oh, that was a very funny thing that nobody maybe heard or nobody really said, you know, that's just kind of how my family always was. And so I never wanted to do stand up. I grew up studying acting, and I went to performing arts schools all growing up, and I read plays just like a mad person when I was a kid, because I was just so passionate about dialogue. And I actually prefer plays to books, because you're just given the dialogue and you're able to fill in whatever else needs to happen. Like, it's just, there's something so, there's just something so quick about just this, and building like conflict. And maybe that has some sort of influence on me ending up doing stand up. But, you know, I had a softball injury when I was 20, as you know, Brian. And I know about those softball injuries.
Yeah.
And it messed with my speech and my motor skills on the left side of my body. And I couldn't get hired as an actor anymore when I was out here in my first year in LA. And, so that was what kind of turned me to start doing stand up. Is I still loved performing. I just didn't have the opportunity to anymore. And stand up really offers it really offers that for you to be able to kind of control as much as you can from the writing and performing standpoint.
Were you like a David Mamet kind of is that the kind of
I read it? I mean, I read it all. Yeah, I read. Yeah. I read. Yeah, I read it all. I read Mamet. I read Tennessee Williams. I read Neil Simon. I love Neil Simon's plays. Mm. You know, I Neil LaBute. Martin McDonagh. Like, I mean, I read it all. So, you know, these are all things that like. I still love it, and I still you know love getting to act whenever I can.
Now you are an incredibly popular comedian. You're traveling, I imagine, the world, and like you said, this is not your intention. This isn't where you started, but you know are obviously naturally funny. You're very gifted and talented comedian. Do you love the grind of being out there and traveling and the audience? And I'm sure the stage part everybody loves, right? That hour that you're out there absorbing and interacting. I'm sure that is always the zenith. But do you like being a stand-up comedian, kind of the journeyman part of it?
Yeah. First of all, I love when anybody can casually use the word zenith.
It's a talent.
And just think that we weren't going to acknowledge it. Chrissy, that was nuts that you and I just were going to let Brian just say it.
Oh, that's why Chrissy sits next to me, is because I often will misuse big words and Chrissy just lets it fly. Yeah. And then the audience calls it out later.
Can we actually cut to commercial on the commercial? Can we go somewhere else and then come back?
Because
there are no
sponsors on this episode.
Okay.
So
okay.
We're at the zenith of this episode.
Financially crippled. Once again, we're all dealing with something.
Yes.
Any comic will tell you that the grind of going to do the thing, I mean, is really, it can really grate on you, and you have to, Howie Mandel, he once told me, he was like, it's like, I don't even want to know my travel plans until the day of. Like, all of his team books it and lets him know you're going there like that morning or the night before.
So
he doesn't have to, have to like stress or worry or try to plan, that type of stuff is stuff that I completely understand, because you're really paying us to leave. That's what you're doing. That's what you're paying for. We'll perform anywhere, but you're paying us. It's the travel, the part that is just such the hassle. So, I've abused my own, time and taking advantage of my own work ethic in a way where I don't hold myself accountable for the balance that's needed for the play and the fun and the living and all of that has been something I've only learned to manage better, maybe more recently. When I first started, I was so hell-bent on trying to do anything to validate my own feelings or success, to try to make sense of this injury, that I just worked myself to death, and I completely dismissed the idea that I maybe needed to do some things for my soul or take a way to relax. So I think there's this common misconception that comedy's just all, it's all fun. It's all silly. Yeah. And we're all just, and it's like, I mean, some of us are that way. But now, and especially in the fast paced climate of social media and using it as a tool and algorithms and branding and all this, like, you have to have many hats. You have to have many hyphens, and you have to be able to do so many so much more than just what it was 20 years ago, where it was like, I sit and I write and I go up and what do you want? You know, like, so it's just this idea of holding your, any entrepreneur probably already knows this or has to come to realize this. If you don't discipline yourself to shut your brain off, you're gonna completely run yourself into the ground by having your brain be a very abusive employer to your own self. And that's the problem. Yeah. I think I'm a really good employee. I think I'm a terrible employer. So
what are some of the things you do to kind of tune out or play? Watch The Housewives? Do you ground? We were talking about grounding earlier.
Do you ground? Do you take your socks off?
Both of those at the same time, honestly, yes, Chrissy. Yes. It's The Housewives and then the socks are off.
Yes.
Oh, get a Chardonnay in my hand. I'm a sassy bitch.
Mine's a bubble bath with the TV just a little bit too close in case I decide the commercial
that's
break's
it.
Not working out
that's
for me.
It. Yeah, you got the iron going too. You're like, man. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I've done a lot of I've tried a lot of different holistic modalities and approaches. We're all kind of in the process of healing or finding a thing that
mushroom
works for you.
Cacao ceremony with a Peruvian shaman.
That's it. Let's guided dance over the fire.
I just
let me sweat.
I just got back last week.
Yes, you did.
Did you? Did you do that?
I did. Yeah, yeah. It's not my first. This is not my first rodeo with this too. I mean, ayahuasca, the whole nine yards.
How do you feel?
I felt like this one was very, I'll put it this way. It was a very gentle experience, but this was truly not Peruvian. She was Guatemalan, like a Mayan, an actual Mayan, which I learned that the Aztecs are a dead, culture, but the Mayans are an alive culture. They very much still celebrate it at the pyramids. They're allowed to go there. They do their ceremonies. They're still very active. And she came and blessed us all with a mushroom cacao ceremony. And I will say it was a gentle experience as these things go, but you always learn something. And we were in a larger group of people and just like the sharing the experience and everyone kind of letting out what they were dealing with at that moment. You then again, it brings you closer to your own humanity. You know, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz and walking the yellow brick road, I think is the way I explained it at the end of the night. But of course, then I just did a mushroom cacao ceremony. Yeah. So, but I said, listening to everybody else, you know, I got strength. Yeah. I got strength like the Tin Man. I got the heart and I got the brain from the other folks around me sharing with their struggles and what they needed. And, you know, and I've done a number of these things in the past, a lot of them in the past. And so, you know, I can see the hokiness in it, but then I also always take something away from
it. Sure.
Yeah.
There's nothing hokey about it, and I appreciate the history that you just shared about the difference between Aztecs and Mayans. I didn't know that. Although I watched the Road to El Dorado about once a year just to kind of brush up. So I already feel like I already kind of knew what you said anyway.
Historically accurate.
You know, it's a zenith. Yeah. Anyway.
It's a zenith.
That's really what it is. The Mayans and the Aztecs. They're the zenith. To answer your question, Chrissy, I was fascinated with the psychedelics of it all because last year was the first time I did I had an experience. I had a psychedelics experience. I was in the kitchen back home, with my brother. And, he and I, interestingly enough, we had been reading the same books, but unbeknownst to each other, which I always find to be like so interesting. And, you know, you know, my dad, he was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer sometime late last year. And I only bring that up to say, you know, like, you know, it put into perspective just a little bit of, you know, what am I doing with my life? That's, mm-hmm. that's, what am I clinging to? You know, my dad's, you know, he has always had just a struggle in his relationship with control. I know my brother's the same way. I feel like I'm the same way. And psychedelics are pretty much the ultimate kind of like, there's, you don't have, exactly. Reset. You don't have any control. And so the idea that it was, the idea that my brother was kind of hovering around this same concept of maybe wanting to do something like that. And then me also doing that, but unbeknownst to each other, we kind of agreed that night that, we would try something together. And so he said, have you ever heard of, DMT, MDMT, and I was like, I have, of course it's
Holy
terrifying,
shit.
You know,
you jumped over, every avenue on the Monopoly board. And went straight to go. That is the most intense psychedelic hallucinogen that you could possibly do.
Oh, it's, I mean, I'll be, we've already been as candid as we have up to this point. So I'll be completely honest. It was between quitting comedy or quitting life or this. That's how much.
Wow.
That was almost like a kid way of saying that, but there, I mean, yeah. I was just at a place where it was like, mm-hmm. I can't do this anymore and something else needs to mm-hmm. change. And that I think would speak to how desperate I was, because the idea of relinquishing control in a way that it meant that I would have to completely throw myself into the most uncontrolled, where you have nothing, you know, mm-hmm. Is absolutely like, it absolutely an indicative of what it was like going through that at that time. So we found a shaman and we did the experience.
Ayahuasca or DMT?
DMT. And then I went back and did it a month later, which you're not really supposed to do.
Shit.
And then a week later, after that second experience, I did a large dose of shrooms.
Yeah.
And, it's probably a conversation for maybe another time, but quite a few things came to light for, I guess, back, lack of a better term. And, it changed everything about how I felt about myself, how I felt about my relationship to stuttering. I know my speech improved even that much. Between the two times that I did DMT, my stutter came back in such a way that it was like, I mean, it almost like it set me back in such a way, like I was having full like body kind of things. My head would kind of like just go back and I couldn't control it because I had spent years trying to suppress once again, like right. even though my speech was getting better over the years, I was suppressing the idea that I needed to get it to be said in an exact certain way and control it and doing mm-hmm. so much tension in my body and in my face and in my mind, evaluating how everybody was feeling about it all the time. And this medicine basically showed me like, you know, like, I'm gonna take that away from you. I'm gonna have this medicine come all the way through your body and break you all the way back down to where mm-hmm. you were years ago, and show you that you can't care about any of that. And that's mm-hmm. and Brian, you probably already have known this maybe in your own experiences, but the relationship to stuttering is such a like snake eating itself, because it's like, the more you try to control it, it's like the worse it gets. And,
yes.
And it's like the more you try to think about it, you can't think your way out of a situation where your brain is the culprit. So right. you have to, it's like Chinese finger trap. You have to almost like relinquish that control somehow in order for it to get better. And so that was something that those three experiences really taught me. And it does just wonders for anybody who's at that crossroads.
Or definitely believers.
I'm a believer fully. And my relationship with stuttering, you know, a lot of speech therapy when I was a kid, it comes out occasionally. Thinking about having a stutterer on the show freaks me out, because then I feel like somewhere in my brain it's going to come out. It's a weird thing that I don't feel often, but when I feel it, I get fearful. And just like you said, then it becomes about control, controlling the mind, controlling the mouth, controlling the breathing. But ayahuasca, which is the active ingredient DMT is in ayahuasca, being in that ceremony, there is no explanation in words that I could ever share with anybody who's never done it to tell them what it's all about. All I can say is you die a million deaths and they're all ego driven. You're completely out of control. You're out of body. You are in another universe and something else is in control. Some call it the God psychedelic, mm-hmm. right? Because you're essentially touching the face of God in a way that is just amazing. There is lessons in all of it. And some of those lessons seem like they set, in my experience, seem like they set you back. But then with some perspective, you understand it's just showing you that you're not in control. You're not in control. You're here. You're experiencing. You're the witness, but you're not in control. And that is fucking okay. That is okay. I think it all goes back to what you said earlier. It's okay to be scared. It's okay. It's okay to be fearful. It's okay to have, you know, to just share that. I didn't know this about you, Drew, but I really appreciate where you're coming from with that. And I appreciate how big your balls must be to go from no psychedelic experience straight to DMT. That's fucking intense. That is fucking intense.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe that's the way to start, though.
Yeah, maybe you should just go from the big
guns. If you didn't know what it maybe could do, then ignore it.
Yeah, you don't know what you're missing.
Exactly. If you do it right, like, you know, it's like a hangnail. It's like, you know, like get it all the way off. You know what I mean? Get it all. Don't continue to just kind of gnaw at it and let it like whatever. You know. So it is. It was kind of exactly just the thing. And I had tried microdosing before and you're like, ooh, the ground, I think moves a little, but I don't need the ground to move a little. I need to figure out.
Yeah, that wasn't digging into the brain.
Yeah.
You didn't touch the face of God with microdosing.
Yeah.
You might have touched grass while you were grounding.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know. I was probably rolling around like a wild monkey in my eyes.
Yeah, I think I need a little more than, ooh, this, like, I really feel this blanket. Yeah. I really feel this blanket.
So soft.
Yeah.
You know, in the UK, they stay away from usually very heavy narcotic painkillers, and they have for many years, so they're go-to is ketamine. Someone comes in with a compound fracture. I mean, I think they do this now in the U.S., but for their go-to is ketamine. And I don't know why, but the algorithm keeps serving me up these videos of these guys and girls who are in the hospital, some kind of major problem, and, you know, the doctors are giving them ketamine. And you just watch them as their incomplete soul leaves their body in the weirdest of ways. And it reminds me of being in the room with all these people when we were doing ayahuasca. It's just a wild experience, but one I'm better for. I'm so grateful that I ended up in the path of doing that, because it did show me some things that I can't explain, and you know, you can't take away from me either. So I like you even more now, Drew. So we're best friends. But up with the banana?
Yeah, sure. We'll get right to it. No. I think we're getting down to the stuff that matters here. Like that was all filler, and I was getting kind of sick of it.
Honestly,
who cares about that?
When are we gonna get to the meat and potatoes?
Oh my God, philosophy, life or death, existentialism. What are we talking? Like, who cares?
What are we talking about?
Let's balance some things out with some Nana talk. I designed this podcast studio with a buddy of mine, and for me the saying banana has always been just a very difficult word for me for okay. whatever reason. So I always say like nanas, like I always say like, oh, yeah, can I get a, like even if I'm at like a smoothie place, you know, or in there, you can like build your own or whatever. I'll get whey, I'll get some ginger and some kiwi, and you can throw some nanas in there. So I don't know. I think people think I think people think that I'm just, I don't know. Maybe I think people think I just, I'm like, I'm very, I'm just progress. I'm like, I'm on the streets, you know, I know I got my ear to the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or
I'm
in with the kids.
Yeah. So that was kind of the design of that one. And then I actually have, I have another chair here. This is a softball. Cause I had a softball injury.
Right.
So I had a softball injury and that's my dog with her headphones on. That was a stuffed animal. That was kind of wild. And it's the most expensive thing in the studio, like equipment included. Sign included, the Nana is literally the most expensive thing.
And it's always the fucking chairs. These fucking chairs, too. They're so expensive. Everything in this studio I could probably hock for $180. But the chairs,
my wife
bought for like $12,000. But they are comfortable. I will
say. But they are. And you can swivel, too. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
you know, Chrissy drops some knowledge, and you know, I can't do that. I crick my neck. If I have a guest on, I have to.
Yeah.
Do people come to your home? Do they go to?
They come right to my home. They do. I give out my address freely.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I just wouldn't do that. Even for famous people. Maybe for you, Drew, but not for other people. I mean, you know.
Too nice. I would never get through Atlanta traffic to come see you,
no.
just so you know.
Yeah.
I would.
No. And if you knew where I live in proportion to regular Atlanta traffic, you would never show up at my house.
I drive an hour and a half every day.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Every day?
Well, every day we record.
Yeah. Every day we record.
Man, that's.
I know. I'm a little bit of a selfish asshole in that way. I said, let's build the studio.
I know. Let's get you some more ayahuasca, Brian. Like, this is not you, man.
I know, but I have the kids. So, you know, it's like everything in life. When you have the kids, they come to you. There's an old saying. When you have the kids, they come to you. That's it.
Ram Dass
said that.
He said Ram Dass.
God, Ram Dass laying them down this episode.
We had this guest on, and I quoted Ram Dass in this very serious moment.
I mean,
Chrissy couldn't stop laughing.
I couldn't keep it together.
She's like, "Are you quoting Ram Dass?" Drew has a new hour of material that is out on YouTube.
Yes, Gold. For free.
Yeah, for free. The Stuttering Comedian. And that is, you can just go Google that, or I'll put a link down in the show notes. He's also, I imagine, on the never-ending tour. Do you have, like, tour dates way out into the future?
Well, yeah, and yeah, they're not in the past anymore. I've already done them. Yeah.
You don't know about them.
Yeah, that's right. I'm adopted. I wish I could pay people to just kidnap me and make me perform. God, it's a dream, you know?
Nothing like performing under duress.
I know. Just to be back in Juarez, Mexico. That's all I want.
Good old Juarez.
So I tour pretty heavy from the fall to the spring. And I'm going like all over the place. It's kind of nice to be able to work so much through those months. And then the summer months, I take about 3 months off.
Good for you.
Like I remember like, you know, when you're growing up and you know, you're out of school for 3 months, like those are like the best three, like you just have this such a beautiful feeling of just like, I have 3 months to just be a person. I can really just be a kid. I can play games. I can call friends. I can go do things socially. And so for whatever reason, those two compartments of like, okay, I've got whatever, 9 months of work and work hard. And then, you know, 3 months of play. It's just kind of, it's nostalgic, and it just revitalizes me. And if you're in a place or a position where you can create your own schedule, like I'm very, very lucky to be able to do that. And then the last hour for the Stuttering Comedian special that I just did was basically just kind of like, let me put every answer to any question someone might have about my experience with stuttering, my history of how it came to be for me, the process of me rehabilitating it as it relates to my mental health, what it does, you know, what it does for, you know, like my relationship to my career. I mean, there's a lot of things that it's all, I just wanted it to be in one place. And then that way I can get a little bit of closure on that being something that I don't have to have, you know, just kind of dictate any sort of feelings or insecurities or projections anymore.
I love that.
I will say this, and I know that as after now I know a little bit of your experience, this is probably not what you're looking for, but I find you to be an extremely brave human being and a very funny one and a very self-aware person. So you are adding a little light to this universe that needs it, and I've been a fan of yours for a while. I continue to be a fan of yours. If you make it to Atlanta, when you make it to Atlanta, not here because I won't allow you to my house, but we have a studio where we record with people in person, and I invite you to come sit with us.
I would love to. I think I'll be in Atlanta, I think sometime coming up, actually. Let me do a quick search.
Oh, I'd love that.
Oh, that would be fantastic. And then,
look at that.
And then we can actually book our calendars while we're recording.
Yeah. If you wouldn't mind just telling the audience to just sit tight. All right.
We've got
some important stuff coming up.
We've got to plan our next ayahuasca experiment here.
I know.
I'm going to bring ayahuasca brownies.
Ayahuasca brownies is so crazy. I can't take on the calories. I'll just do it right from the soup. I'll do the tea one.
Yeah.
I know it's coming up. I know it got rescheduled, so I know it's coming up at some point. So we'll coordinate.
We'll have our people call your people. Drew Lynch, very funny. You find all of his links in the show notes. Drew, it's been a pleasure meeting you today.
Drew.
Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
What a refreshingly honest conversation.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I mean, we kind of went places I didn't think we'd go, and I loved it.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of becoming par for the course with the commercial break that the comedians come on, and they're like, you know, funny, ha-ha, and then we're like, so, tell us about your deepest, darkest secret. Have you ever heard of Ram Dass?
Yes.
He is the zenith of all self-help gurus. Zenith.
Yes. I love how you picked up on that.
Yeah, because the other thing is that even though this incredibly kind of, you know, introspective conversation, he was throwing in one-liner. He was picking up on stuff quick, and you can tell that while he may still suffer at times from the stuttering or, you know, neurological damage from his accident, if that's him with neurological damage, he's probably super fucking smart.
Yeah.
That kid is probably super fucking fast and smart. And so,
yeah, I enjoyed that.
I did too. I really did. I really hope that we get a chance to follow up with that in an in-person interview so that I can show off all my fancy words right sitting across from him.
That's true.
Because my ego tells me it's necessary. Maybe I'll have to sharpen up on a couple of ayahuasca medicine ceremonies before I go. True, and I can talk straight to DMT. I couldn't believe it. My mouth was
agape. Yeah, I felt your energy over there when he said that. You're like, what?
Go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak and look at my face when he's saying that. I am just like, what? Maybe because I started off LSD, which is not the softest of drugs. And by the way, the first time I ever did LSD, I did 5 hits at one time because there was no instruction manual. And the guy who sold it to me in a 5-strip. And I just said, okay.
I thought this is what I do.
Yeah. And he just told me, put it in your mouth and suck on it. And I was like, oh, okay. There you go. He forgot to tell me to rip them into little squares and put one at a time. So I had an intense experience my first time, but it wasn't because I wanted to. It was but of course, the first time's always fun. You know, it's like, woohoo, colors and pretty swirls and look at the TV and hearing things, music sounds great. But by any stretch of the imagination, going even from LSD to DMT is like a holy shit. It's just two different words. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like the difference between Tylenol and a morphine drip. There's no comparison whatsoever. They're both intense. So anyway, you got a lesson in hallucinogenics.
I like that he just went ahead and dove in, though.
Yeah, hey, listen, but sounds like he was in a point of desperation.
Yeah.
Like, it's either this or it's that, and I'm going to do this and hope that it works. And it did. And we're all the better for it. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm fine with them canceling Atlanta for that. Yeah. Rescheduling.
And maybe he canceled Atlanta so he could come back and sit face to face with us.
Exactly.
That's just the way the world works, kids. It's a weird, wacky, wild universe. She is a finicky bitch, and she does whatever she wants to. You're out of control. That's the moral of the story. Enjoy it while you can. It's just a flutter through this reality. But I guess we don't all share the same reality, but, you know, hey, listen, whatever. Anyway. DrewLynch.com, The Stuttering Comedian on YouTube, and all of his socials available down in the show notes and the links below. Go check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. We certainly enjoyed having him here. Okay, let's get to the important news of the day. TCBpodcast.com. That's where you can get your free TCB sticker. If you haven't already received your merchandise and you bought some, you will soon. I know that was going out the door. Also, at The Commercial Break on Instagram, please do yourself and everyone you love a favor and go follow us. The world will be better for it. You will just get such a kick out of our Instagram. It's us talking, just like we do here.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. I promise.
Flipped up.
Yeah. 212-433-3TCB. You can go ahead and dial up those digits on your old Celebinator and text us or call us and leave us a message. I got a few messages I got to go through. I hope it's not spam. Sometimes we get phone calls on that phone and I'm like, oh, a new voicemail. And it's like, press one.
Or, you've been approved.
Yeah. This is from an official debt collector.
Right.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Congratulations. Stand in line. 212-433-3822. Also, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for all of the episodes on video the same day they air here in the audio, including this one with Drew. It's up there right now. Go check it out. We certainly would appreciate a subscribe. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so. I'll
tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
Five 30!